Good morning. I want to start out this morning with a question, with a thought that I want you to think about. I want you to think about, when was the last time that you experienced a deep connection, that you felt our God's love, that you experienced a time with our Creator, with our Father? And then like that, when was the last time that you experienced a deep connection with a fellow human, with a brother, with a sister, with someone else, that you shared life, that you shared joy, you shared hurts? When was the last time you experienced that connection with your Father? You experienced that connection with someone else. There's a preacher down in Dallas named Matt Chandler, and he was speaking, and the first thing he said, he made this statement. He said, "I wonder if the suburbs," speaking of Dallas, he said, "I wonder if the suburbs are slowly killing us day by day." And he was talking about the suburbs, but I don't think it applies just to Dallas, just to cities who have suburbs. Because I think what he was saying is, I wonder if all the busyness, all the craziness, hecticness of our life is slowly killing us day by day. I don't think it's just something that people in Dallas or Houston or any big city experience. I think it's a human condition that we get so busy and we get so rushed and we have all these schedules, and so much of it is really, really, really good stuff. It's games and it's family and it's job and it's busy. It's busy. And it's a challenge to get away from all the busyness of our lives and experience God and experience people. Connect with God. Connect with people. I think Jesus felt this same challenge in his life. And I think there's two things I just want to highlight real fast that he did in his life that allowed him to connect to his Father and allowed him to connect with people. I think one was, he constantly got away. That there was a rhythm in his life that he would sneak away from people and just be with his Father. And then the second one was, I think he surrounded himself with a small group, with his disciples, that he lived life with. If you got your Bibles, go to Mark 1. We're just going to look real fast. Mark 1. If you look, Mark 1, Jesus has just been baptized, and comes out of the water, and we know that he's about to start his ministry. And the first thing that happens is Spirit comes and leads him out into the desert to be tempted by God. And we know that, but I think it's interesting that, yes, he went out, and for 40 days he was in the desert and he was tempted by God. If you read Matthew, it talks about how Satan came on that 40th day and tempted him. But for 39 days he was with his Father. For that time, it was him and it was God. And I think it's just interesting that before he starts his ministry, he is with his Father. And then you look throughout his life. He sneaks away to a mountainside to spend time with God. He goes to the other side of the lake. He gets out in the boat and gets away from the people. Before he is arrested and led to the crucifixion, what does he do? He sneaks out into the garden to spend time alone with God. There's this rhythm through his life that amidst all the busyness and all the people and all the stuff, he sneaks away to find time to connect with his Father. And then if you look, he gets back from the desert, and what's he do? He begins the calling of his first disciples. He starts forming his small group. He calls the 12 disciples, and he lives life with them. For the next 3 years, he surrounds himself with these 12 men. And he mentors them and equips them. But it's interesting. I think he probably, Jesus was probably talented enough, he probably could have held a seminar or something 3 months before he died and called these 12 men and said, "This is what you're going to need to do, and this is what it looks like, and do this and you'll be good." But instead, he lives for 3 years with these guys. And there's times during his life where he gets away and he's just with these men, and his disciples are going, "What did this mean? And why couldn't we do this? And what did this look like?" And he lives life with these people. Jesus got away and he was with a small group. He was connected to these men. If you remember, Brian and Kyle started off this year by talking about how we want to be a church of small groups. Not with small groups, but a church of small groups. And these small groups meet for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus. And then Kyle talked about how we want to create these fueling events that allow us to get away from all the busyness and craziness of this world and connect with God. This morning, Landon and I want to tell you a little bit about our youth ministry. In the past, we've kind of talked about our vision for our youth ministry, what we think God's calling us to be, and what we want, who we want to be. This morning, we want to talk about what that looks like, how we attempt to live out this vision. And we want to highlight how blessed we feel that our vision and how we live that out is so similar to this church. And there's synergy. There's a unity there. That we want our students to be connected and in a small group. And we want to create fueling events to allow them to get away from school and busyness and all this stuff and connect with God, connect with their Creator, and connect with each other. So this morning you're going to get to hear, Landon's going to get up here, he's going to talk about our small groups, which we call Trek groups, so you'll hear Trek groups referred to a lot. He's going to talk about our Trek groups, and you'll get to hear from some Trek guides and what their experience has been in those, and then we're going to talk about our fueling events throughout the year that we create for our student ministry, and you'll get to hear from some of our students and how those fueling events have shaped them and changed them.
As I begin, I would just want to echo what Adrian said about the connection between our student ministry and this church. And it is honestly one of the greatest blessings that I've ever had in over 12 years of ministry. To be in a place where what is spoken here is exactly what is spoken in our room. The challenges that you hear and that you are offered are the same exact challenges that we offer our students. And I've never been around that before. It's been my experience that student ministry has been a kind of a separate appendage, and that we get to push the envelope and we get to run and we get to do some things with the students. And honestly, some of them in those kinds of environments grow up and they graduate out of the student ministry and they come into church and they're like, where's the excitement? Where's the revolution? Where's the challenge? What? I don't want to just sit in a pew. And I am so grateful today that this place is not that. That we live in step with each other with those same challenges. A simple phrase that we use in our student ministry, kind of behind the scenes to keep us on track about what we are after and what we're running toward, is this. That we want to invite students to become apprentices of Jesus. And all that means is we want them to become disciples. We want them to become trainees of Jesus that at the end result will look just like Him. That's a very simple statement. That's a very simple task, but it is so enormous that it is completely dependent on the Spirit of God for that to happen. But it keeps us on track. We're not just about teaching a set of information and getting them to understand certain things. We do that. But we are about life transformation that will bring students into the nature and character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we highlight two things that we feel like have to happen in order for the Spirit of God to do that work in our students. Number one, we have to invite them to fall in love with God. We've got to create opportunities for you guys to not just know our God, but to love Him and to be sold out for Him. And when that happens, we need to work to equip our students to share that love freely, easily, everywhere they go. That's who we are. That's who we will always be. Our programs may come and go, and we may change lots of things and lots of how-tos about doing that, but that is who we are. There are four words that I want to offer to you this morning about some of those things, about helping us get there, and I want to show you how those things impact who we are. We feel like that our students first need to be encouraged in this life. They need to be in an atmosphere that allows them to be students, but to always encourages and challenges them toward more. They also need to be connected. They need to be connected to the very people of God so that they live in community with people who are running after the exact same thing. So they will have partners along the journey. And they need encounters. They need personal, real, tangible encounters with the Creator of the world so that He can change them. And the last thing is they need a mentor. They need people to come alongside them and to put their arms around them and say, I've walked this same road. Let me show you what it looks like. We structure our student ministry around those things. Encourage, connect, encounter, and mentor. And as we begin to talk about Trek groups, I believe that three of those things, often all four of them are found, but three of them especially are deeply embedded into what small group ministry, what relational ministry is about. And it's the encourage, the connect, and the mentor. But the one that I want to highlight the most is the mentor. People, if we don't have someone ahead of us that's showing us the way, we will not know what path to follow. One very clear example of this for me is Barnabas. I think he is the model spiritual mentor. If you look at his relationship with Paul, it's amazing. Saul at this point was a transformed follower of Jesus, but everyone knew him as a murderer. And in Acts chapter 9, he goes to Jerusalem to connect with the church and to be with them and to have these experiences and to grow, and they do not receive him. They don't want any part of him because of where he's been, because of what he's done. But there's a mentor who believes in him, who sees more than that in him, and he changes not only Paul's life, he changes the course of history because of it. He grabs Paul, he takes him directly to Jerusalem, to the apostles, and he shows the apostles what Paul has done in his transformation. And the church accepts him. And they start working with him, and Paul immediately moves into ministry. That is a picture of what we are after. And just two chapters later, Paul has left Jerusalem. He's gone back to his hometown in Tarsus, and Barnabas is sent by the church to Antioch to help mature that group of people. And he sees what's going on, and something triggers him. Something goes off in his head, and he says, I need Paul. And so he goes back to Tarsus, he gets him, he takes him to Antioch, and together they work there for a year teaching and developing and maturing that church. The end result of that, if you keep reading Acts, there becomes a shift. Ultimately, the mentor takes a back seat. Every time you read of them, it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, and then all of a sudden it's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. And he starts to lead, and he becomes the most influential person in the revolution of Jesus, besides Jesus himself. All because there was a mentor who was willing to put himself on the line for the sake of someone else. That is what our Trek Group ministry is about. It is about finding. Right now, we have about 30 Barnabases, and getting them in relationship with our students so that God can work. This morning, I want you to hear a few words from a couple of them.
The purpose for small groups is to intimately connect with other people that maybe feel overwhelmed in a big church or what have you. I wasn't raised in a big church, so having a small group to me is like home, because you're able to know each other's stories and be in a comfort zone to know that this place right here is safe versus the masses. And, you know, I wasn't raised with a youth group, and to be able to live it through kids that I'm mentoring, that's fabulous.
I've recently discovered it's my mission not just to help kids in this church, but God has given me a mission of reaching kids, period. And I never figured that out after 5 years of working at the probation department. Recently, God has really put it upon me that it's my mission to reach kids for Christ, hurting kids. And those kids exist here as well as they do outside the church.
There's not a necessarily an aha moment when you realize these kids connect. It's the little things. It's, hey, I remember something that was going on last week. What's going on with that this week? Out of the blue, you don't realize they heard it. When someone was sharing something about themselves, they retained it. And they might not volunteer maybe their story or what might be going on in their world, but they acknowledge someone else had a need of sharing that time, and they are reconnecting with that the next time they meet. And, you know, maybe the next turnaround, they'll have something to share and they're able to pass it on.
Me, and at least in the small group setting, I feel like when trust is established, that's a success. And it doesn't matter what they're taking away. If they know that if I'm struggling with anything, that I can talk to my Trek group leader about it. It's as real as it gets. There's nothing fake about it. There's nothing, I have to act this way. I have to know this about the Bible. I have to have this background knowledge. I have to look this way, act this way. To be accepted or to be a part. There is no judgment among those who are leading the Trek groups of when this kid steps in, the way they look, the way they act. Nothing about them are going to be judged. We want to get down to their heart. And we want them to get to know our heart, and that we are just like them, just taller. We struggle with the same things they struggle with.
I mean, I think the best gift you can give someone is not realizing you're given the gift. That was our lesson tonight, and we really focused on that. And all the girls would talk about friendship. That was their gift, was friends they connected with.
And you get an opportunity to be real with them without fear of judgment. But also give them the opportunity to be real, because I believe in every person's heart, they're longing to be freed from the masks that they wear, of being someone that is not completely authentic, because there are things that they don't feel like will be accepted by others. And in taking off that mask for others, you enable them to take off their mask for you, and free them and yourselves at the same time.
Every week we gather to do that. Every week we offer teaching, and then we send the kids into communities where they can be encouraged, they can be themselves, and they can hang out and relax, where they get to connect with the people of God, but where there's opportunity for relationship with mentors who will run after them, who will offer them true life through Christ. But there's more that we need than just each other and just those challenges and just those things. As I hinted at in the beginning, we need true encounters with our God. We can't just hear about it from other people. We can't just teach information. We need to find the very presence of God and allow Him and ask Him to speak and to move us. And so we do those things as well. Sunday mornings right now in our rhythm is designed to be an experience. It's built off of our teachings on Wednesday night, and we try to create all kinds of different ways for our students to find and experience God on Sunday morning when we gather. Sunday nights builds on top of that as well. We have experiences where we just build on community. We have experiences where we go out and we serve, and we try to make a difference in someone else's life, even if it's just offering a hug. And we have experiences where we come to the very throne of God and we worship. But there is a need and a rhythm that cries out in our lives for more than that. Just like Jesus had a rhythm of escaping and going away to be with God, we also create those kinds of moments. Those, if you will, change moments. Where there is a significant jump because God comes in and speaks, and our movement toward Him is drastically increased. And then we can begin again from there. You have been challenged to go to one of those in the next year and a half. And this morning, we want to show you what some of those look like in our student ministry as well. Come on up, Adrian. One of the first ones that we want to talk about is one that has been a very powerful one in our for our middle school students, and it's the Middle School Disciple Now.
Middle School Disciple Now, we started it last year, and what it simply is an in-town retreat. We stay in Amarillo. We start on a Friday night. We'll get done on Sunday morning. We'll spend the night at some families' homes who are brave enough to house us, and we'll spend that time trying to figure out who this God is and how He changes our life. Last year we talked about, our theme was rooted. I don't know if you saw any of the shirts or whatever. It was rooted. And we talked about, what are we rooted in? Are we rooted in a God and in His love and how He feels about us? Or are we rooted in who knows what all else? And how does what we're rooted in change the way that I view God, change the way that I view myself, change the way that I view others? And it was awesome. It was powerful. This year we're looking at, we're going to look at free. And when Paul talks about in Colossians that you are free from accusation, what does it mean to be free? How are we free? How does God's love free us? And so a couple weeks, that's what we're going to, when you see Middle School Disciple Now, that's what we're going to be doing up here this weekend, or that weekend, is talking about free. What does that mean?
One of the brand new events that we started this past year is called Freshman Experience. And this actually grew out of our Senior Sunday. Several years ago, Jerry came to Kyle and I and talked about offering something special, offering a blessing event with graduating senior boys. We did that, and it's called STP, Sons to Peers. And that has actually grew into another event for senior girls who are graduating. But because of those things, we decided, you know what? It's amazing to bless kids as they're graduating, especially through their parents. But maybe we need to back up and do that much earlier as well. And so this past year, we kicked off the first freshman experience, where we invited the parents of our incoming freshmen in to do some of those kinds of things. And growing out of that event, our freshman parents this year are putting together an event called High School Family Experience. And it is, if you have a high school student, you've probably already seen a letter in the mail. But it is an event for all of our high school students and their parents to discover God together for a weekend. That's me, sorry. The next thing that I want to talk about is honestly one of the most powerful things that I've done in student ministry. And it is directly connected to an event that we used to do called Youth Wave. This past summer, we took about 15 people, adults and students, loaded them in a van, and drove to Chicago. We hit St. Louis, Chicago, and Kansas City on the way back home in order to challenge them to live radically for Jesus. To not just make this call about your life, but to see that you've been called for someone else to offer a life-changing, eternity-changing invitation to them. It is radical, and it is a very barbaric, unsafe way to live. And we have video. We want to show you a couple of people that went on that trip.
I think why we have to go on these trips and why it's important to be able to go far away, it kind of forces you to build relationships. There's 15 of us in a passenger van, all going to Chicago. We're all together. We kind of were forced to build relationship with each other. We had no other choice but to talk to each other about their lives and talk to each other about what's going on.
Being away from the normal, going to church Sunday morning, come and do whatever we do on Sunday night and Wednesday night, it sort of breaks the routine. Being away just sets you apart from all that, and it gives you a chance to actually stop and listen instead of just ignoring whatever God has to say.
The first day of the van adventure, I was okay with it. I thought it was going to be a great trip. It's going to be fun. And then Landon gave us this book to read called The Barbarian Way, and he had us read the first chapter, and I read the first chapter, and I thought, oh, I just didn't like the first chapter of the book. I thought civilized Christianity was good. What's wrong with that? And then I went on to read and figured out, oh, okay. I really don't want to be a civilized Christian.
A barbaric life is, I guess, just going full out for God, not hesitating. Just wherever He calls you to go, you go. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You know in your heart that that's the right thing to do and that He needs that for you and from you. So you can help coach other people to live that way and help them to do what He wants them to do.
Thinking that the barbarian way is not safe and being that all-out barbarian for God and living that way isn't safe. But when we were reading and when you read in the Bible about John the Baptist and he went and he asked his followers to go check and see if Jesus was the one that was supposed to come, and Jesus came back and said, yeah, I'm the one that's supposed to come. But then Jesus didn't rescue him. I think that's when it all clicked that I wasn't created on this earth for God to serve me and for Him to give me and help me and make things better for me. I was put on this earth in order to serve Him and do things for Him.
I'm choosing to do something that goes against the crowd. I'm like a person swimming upstream, going against the current, and it's just not normal for everybody else to see. They think that's different and that it's not worth it. It's a waste of time. You're just going to end up being alone and nobody's going to really care about what you're doing. For me, whenever it clicked that I do want to live like that, I want to be different from everybody else, and I want to show other people that living barbaric, it's not easy. I can tell you that. It's not easy at all. And just living that, you feel better in your heart because you know that what you're doing is right, even though everybody else thinks that it's not worth it. It's a waste of time. You need to step out there and be the person who's willing to live that way.
I want to tell you about real quickly about two more fueling events that we do. First one is duct tape. You've probably seen it in the bulletin and wondered what that was all about. It's our middle school kind of in-town mission trip that we do every August. And last couple of years, it's been an awesome event to connect our incoming sixth graders to the youth group. It's their first kind of fueling event. It's their first time to experience what this youth group is all about, what it kind of looks like to connect with each other and to connect with God. And so what we do is we start up here on a Monday. We end on Wednesday night. And we spend our days just getting out into Amarillo and serving people, of taking a break from our normal schedule and stopping that and going out and serving people. And so we'll spend the mornings usually doing projects for members here in this church. It changes every year, but just trying to serve people who are here. And then the afternoons we go out, go over to the Lamar neighborhood and hang out with the kids over there, and we'll go to the park and play football and play soccer and throw the frisbee around and do sidewalk chalk and all kinds of stuff and just play with those kids and hang out over there all afternoon. And then at night we go to Faith City downtown and sing and worship with them in their the Devo that they have, and then serve them food and clean up afterwards. And then come back here and talk about, why did we do that? Why does God call us to do that? What does that mean? And just spend a couple days serving, forgetting about ourselves and serving people. Second event I want to talk to you about is our fall retreats. We do this usually sometime August, September, October. And sometimes it's a middle school and high school, just one big fall retreat. This last year we did a high school retreat, and we did a middle school retreat. But it's a chance for our high school to get together and to just be together, get away from school and all the demands on your time that come from that, to get away, be together, and be challenged and learn, what does it mean to be a man or a woman or a disciple of Christ? What does that look like? And our middle school retreats are based on the same thing. I want you to listen to a couple of our students, and they'll tell you about their experience from fall retreat.
I think the difference in going to church on Sunday and going to a retreat is the environment that you're put in is, I think it makes it much easier on you to be able to connect, because you're with your friends that are church that are coming there for the same thing, try to find the same thing. And you're away from everything that troubles you in life, anything that would come in between you and taking a step closer to having a relationship with God.
In the fall retreats, usually you get a relationship with everybody. Usually you get a relationship with somebody that you don't ever have the chance to usually get a relationship with. The moment that probably impacted me the most from any of the fall retreats probably was the Medicine Man game this year. It kind of showed me that I do have a lot of care, I don't know if that's the right word to use, for everybody in our youth group. It was kind of an eye-opener to me realizing that I really do care for people, and I care for them more than I think I do.
Fall retreats make things real for me. You know, it's kind of hard to connect things with real life at church and stuff like that, but retreats, they really kind of dissect you and get you to a point where you can find out what that really means for you and how it relates to your life.
It's probably one of the best experiences that you're ever going to have in your life. You're not going to usually get the experience like all of us in youth group do, just to go somewhere, just excluded from the whole world with the most of the people that just like love you the most, to just go out there and have everybody love on you and be able just to just have God with you.
There's one more event that I want to talk to you about, and it's one that we just got back from. But as I describe it, I want to just reiterate, these events that we go to are not just some great events that we hope something good happens. We are expecting and praying and asking God for change to occur. And for us to come back from those places, different people, further along in the journey, understanding His heart better and knowing more about who we are truly called to be. Winterfest has been an event that we've gone to the last 3 years, and it has surprised me of how much it has touched and impacted our students. This year, the theme was L2. L1, L2. Love God, love others. And as we were talking about that, there was some profound impact and change. And I want to show you what that looked like for one student.
So there is a moment when, like, they got these two girls up there, and they're called the Real Girls. So they did this whole presentation, and they do all this neat stuff. And then they had this other 13-year-old kid. And it just made me realize that I wanted to do something. I wanted to make an impact on the world. My first thought was maybe we could do something like Hoops for Hope. But then I thought, well, I'm not really into anything like that. And I heard them talk about compassion before. I'd been in concerts where they had said it. And I just felt God tell me something that I needed to go back to that booth and pick up a kid. I picked up a kid. He's 6. And his name is Robert Nathaniel Lopez de Aguirre. And he likes soccer and running and bicycling. There were so many kids up there, and I had the hardest time picking which one. But he was, like, glowing, like, literally glowing. So I picked him, and I'm really excited about it. I hope he comes so much closer to Christ, and he can see that he also has a purpose and that he can make an impact on the world like I did, like I'm trying to do. My dream's grown a lot since Winterfest. But I really would like to get some other kids, like, from his town, and eventually, maybe in a couple years, get to go on a trip and go see them and go actually be there with them and help their group there and help pass out stuff and do whatever they need us to do. And I just think that'd be really awesome to get to go see them and get to give them a big, huge hug. So Robert's basically forced me to speak. And, like, even interviewing right now is tough for me, but I guess I'm doing it because of him. And, it's, like, made me into more of a leader. I feel like I can do more now.
Encourage. Connect. Encounter and mentor with the trust that the Spirit of God is moving in all of it and that change is coming. This morning, we have some men that are going to pass the plate again for our student ministry. And if you're new to us, this day is basically our day to get funding for our student ministry. What you give today is what we will operate out of for this year. So I want to ask you to give. I want to let you know that your money primarily goes to these two main areas. To our mentoring of Trek guides and our mentoring of students with them. And to these special events, these fueling events that we take our students to. But beyond us asking for money, I want to ask something else of you. As you've heard our description of who we are and what we're running after and how we structure that, I hope you've heard the familiar challenge. You have been asked, you have been challenged to live this way. You've been invited to find true, life-changing connection with the people of God through some form of a small group. And you've been challenged to get away from your normal life to invite God to speak and change you. And as you look at this plate, I want you to offer more than your money. I want you to consider truly offering your life to these challenges. God is here, and He is active, and He is begging for transformation of His people. Let's join Him in that. Let's pray. God, today, may You receive the glory. May You truly be God for us. May You show us a picture of Your kingdom that is real and alive and one that we can touch. Father, would You plant in our hearts a burning flame that will not go out, that causes us to run toward You, that causes us to live radically in our world. And Father, in all of it, may You become more famous. May You receive the glory and the praise because of the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. As these plates are going by, I'm just going to say one more thing, and I'm going to hand it back off to Doyle. Accept the call for a changed life. May it be said that Southwest Church of Christ will never be a group of people that comes to church anymore. May it be said that we are a group of radical revolutionaries that have been released on the world for the sake of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Messiah.